Hey everyone, Jared Sebesta here, host of Repurposed. Here's your podcast. I hope you enjoy.
When I talk about things of eternal value, most of the time I'm talking about people because people are what last forever. And so for me, being close to this character, it's become, how do I think more about people and the impact that I'm having on people? Not using people to get what I need or what I want, but really seeing them, that this person is beautiful, created in the image of God, and worthy of love.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach true wealth. For more information, go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this week's show, I'm bringing you an interview with Joe Mayers. Joe is an actor from California, and currently his main gig is a one-person drama called The Biva. This play is a fictional representation of a non-fictional event, the Judgment Seat, that hasn't happened yet. And truth be told, I saw this play presented by a different actor back in the 2000s in a Bible study on a VHS tape, and it totally rocked my world. I remember dubbing this on other VHS tapes so I could give out to my friends and family. The main theme of the Bima is that we are called to live in light of eternity, and Joe will be the first to admit that this job of his has changed his life and his perspective on eternity and eternal rewards. And he talks about finding purpose and how we can have greater impact in our lives. Here's my chat with Joe Mayers. This is a really cool interview that we're about to do. I'm really excited to hear your perspective on life and purpose. Before we get into that, tell folks about the Bima. What is it exactly?
Yeah, well, the Bima is a one-man dramatic performance about a guy who actually gets raptured. He comes to the end of his life, and he gets to talk one-on-one with God about what he did and what the impact of that life was. And so you get to see somebody viewing their entire life in perspective.
Yeah.
And say, you know, what was worthwhile, what was not worthwhile, how could I have been less selfish, how could I have cared for my family more, or you know, what did I do well? How did I steward my life?
Yeah.
Well?
What does the Bima mean? Is that like a Greek word? I should know this, but what is the answer to that?
Yeah, well, it is a Greek word.
Okay.
Bima means literally the seat of the judge. Hmm. It comes from a time when the ancient Olympic Games were around. The Bima seat would be at the finish line of the races.
Yeah.
And there would be a judge sitting right there and would determine who won the race. And then you would approach that judgment seat and receive your prize.
So this is somebody who was literally in the middle of their day. And now they're taken up into literally heaven and now are going through this judgment process. And so it's kind of, would you say it's fictional or non-fictional? It's a fictional story based on kind of non-fictional truth. Would that be fair?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a made up story. It's a fictional story, fictional characters and everything like that. But it is based on biblical truth, and it depicts a scenario, although we don't know exactly what the scenario will look like. It depicts a scenario that all believers in Christ will face at some point.
I actually saw like back in like 2003, like I just came into the faith. And I was doing a mm-hmm. Bible study, and somebody showed, I think it was on VHS tape, just shows you how old I am, but
yeah.
VHS tape of this drama, and you probably know the guy who did it about 15, 20 years ago, and I don't know his name.
Yeah.
But
His name's Pete Briscoe.
Okay, is he still doing it?
He is not.
Okay.
In fact, that's the reason why I started doing it.
Interesting.
So the performance is actually based on a book by Pastor Tim Stevenson. He pastored for a long time, a small church down in Texas. And he wrote a book called The Bima, which was sort of the outline for this story.
Yeah.
And then Pete Briscoe was a friend of his, and Pete decided, hey, I'm gonna dramatize this and perform it for my congregation over the course of two Sundays.
Gotcha.
So he sort of did a double feature there and wound up performing that for a couple of larger organizations around the country, and his church recorded it and released a video and everything like that. But that was in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
He's a full-time pastor of a pretty large church.
Okay.
And so, you know, he's not really traveling around performing the Bema.
But that's where I came across this, and I just remember it being very powerful. In fact, I went to the guy who was leading the Bible study, and I was like, I got to get copies of this and give it to my family and watched it. And then, truth be told, for you and the listeners, you were actually in our area. I didn't have a chance to see you do it, but I heard people chattering in the community, like they're bringing the Bema to our area. And I was like, I wonder if it's the original guy, the guy that I saw 15, 20 years ago, but it's the same drama, so to speak, concept, but just a younger version.
It's the same concept.
Right.
I've revised it a little bit.
Okay.
My training is actually as an actor. I have a degree in acting and have done a good amount of stuff in LA and the surrounding areas. So I had the privilege to sort of take something that had been a little bit prolific at one point and revise it and tighten it up and reshape it for another decade.
Yeah.
So
I was really bummed I missed it when you were here. But again, if it's anything like what I saw so many years ago, extremely powerful. I hope folks listen to this podcast, go and check it out. You'll see clips of it at the very least on YouTube and stuff. So go check that out. How did you get into this? Like, how did you, I don't want to say stumble into this, but how did you get into doing this?
Yeah, there was a conference being held by the Jesus Film Project. They're an international organization, and so they hold these large conferences, and people who were creating the conference had seen this performance of the Bema, the one that you're talking about,
right?
By Pete Briscoe, and they said, you know, I wonder if he's still doing that. And they contacted his church, and he said, no, I'm not still doing that. But they really wanted the performance, and so I had been connected with that organization before, and so they contacted me and said, hey, do you think you could perform this? Do you think you could learn it and revise it and perform it in this amount of time that we have? And I said yes, for two reasons. When you're an actor and someone is offering to pay you to do a job, you say yes.
It's an automatic yes. Got it.
Because paying rent and eating is great.
Right.
And also because there were a lot of questions that I had at the time. I grew up as a Christian, but I hadn't really explored my own faith that much. And so I had a lot of questions. And I knew that if I spent, you know, however many hundred hours I was going to spend preparing something that was entirely about eternity, there was no way I was going to walk away, without at least considering those questions that I had. So I decided to go ahead and do it and, performed it at that conference. It gained a little bit of momentum from there, and now that's actually what I do full time.
How did it change your own personal faith that you kind of prepared for this? Did it change your perspective on life for you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it made me view things in light of eternity.
Yeah.
When you think about the fact that every single thing that you do matters forever. You hear illustrations a lot, for believers in Christ, that, you know, your life is a dot and eternity is the line.
Right.
Which is true. And eternity is a really, 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 really long time. But what you do in this life matters. And will matter for a really, 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 really long time. So it made me start thinking about my own choices, how I was going to treat other people, my girlfriend at the time, who then became my wife now, and how I'm treating her. you know, things like that, because we really don't have a ton of time here.
Right.
And it matters.
You are what, 28 years old, you said, before we started recording?
28, yes.
You know, it's interesting. I'm 39. I'll turn 40 this year. You start looking at life differently, you know, the older you get, and you realize, you know, when you're in your teens and 20s, you know, it just seems like your death, no matter how healthy you are, is like just so far off. And then you start having these thoughts by the time you're approaching 40 that I never had before. And you realize I have a very finite amount of time on planet Earth. You know, you think that we're supposed to live that way in light of eternity, to think that like literally every day, almost every moment, we're going to be accountable for it? Is that kind of a something that we just lose track of, and people just lose perspective on that so easily? Do you believe that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think that that it's really easy to get caught up in everyday things.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in your job, even if it's a good job, even if it's a ministry or pastoral job, it's easy to get caught up in those everyday things, finances, kids, relationships. And if you're not consistently recentering and refocusing the reason why you're doing what you're doing, you know, 3 years will go by and you'll realize that you're not on track for what you had planned.
Yeah. Do you feel that this is your why right now? Do you feel like this is what God prepared you to be? You said you were a theater major. Did you see yourself doing this, you know, 5-10 years ago, doing a drama like this?
I didn't, no. This is something that I absolutely could not have planned for myself. In fact, I had sort of given up on the idea of using acting. I mean, at least career-wise, I had sort of thought, you know, maybe at some point I'll do a community theater show, or if, you know, if my church or some friends need help, I'll do that.
But right.
I had sort of given that up. And so this was something that was really just dropped in my lap. Huh. And I'm really glad that it was.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What would you consider your purpose? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Kind of a deep question here to throw on you, but like, how would you describe purpose? Because again, word that gets thrown around a lot, today, kind of a buzzword in a lot of respects. Like, how do you articulate that for your life and maybe everyone's life?
To be honest, this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently, because the first time I performed this drama was close to 2 years ago. It was June 2016. Everything from there just moved so quickly. You know, I thought I was just going to perform it one time and then I'd be done and I'd go back to my job as a bartender.
That's what you were doing before?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I was bartending. Yeah. And when on the nights I wasn't bartending, I was playing music in other bars and basically lived in bars at that point.
Sure. By the way, not that there's anything wrong with that, just so people listening. We're not suggesting that one is, you know, holier than the other, but it's just an interesting contrast anyway.
I all of a sudden found myself doing this show, which is great. And I believed in the message of the show, but I hadn't thought about what it meant for me personally. And I had a guy challenge me to this. His name is Dean Del Sesto. He's a marketing guy out here. And he said, you need to figure out what your purpose is, not what you're doing, but sort of a mission statement of your life, at least for now. And so I was able to come up with something for myself based on what I am doing,
right,
and what I want to continue doing as an artist. And so what that statement was to be a creator of disruptive art for those who desire to grow in Christ. And what that means for me is that my aim is not to make people feel comfortable. My aim is to highlight areas that people may need to work on. You know, not in a disrespectful way.
Right.
But if you come and see the show that I do, you're going to walk away thinking, man, am I thinking enough about my eternity? Or what can I possibly do to have Jesus say to me, well done? Mm-hmm. my good and faithful servant when I reach heaven. So that's for me personally where I land.
I like that, and I'm a huge advocate of creating a purpose statement or having that fundamental truth about your life that's not dependent on whatever your job is currently at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I actually wrote down your statement here as you said it, and you can be doing this drama or you can be doing 1,000 other things and still be doing that. And I think that's why identifying that for everybody listening is huge. You know, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that thing that's fundamentally true? Why were you created to be on this earth? And it starts with that. And really, you know, that's where you're going to have the greatest influence, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
That's why were created. I mean, how could you have any more influence at this point in your life than what you're doing right now, you know, performing for people? And again, for folks out there listening that haven't seen this, it is tremendously convicting. I mean, almost to a fault, where I'm sure you get a lot of conversations afterwards and people are just like, oh man, I'm that guy.
Yeah. Well, the it is funny how different people relate. I had one lady come up to me after I performed, and I don't know why this particular conversation sticks in my mind, but she came out and she said, "I just want to thank you. I just went into the bathroom and I deleted all the games off my phone because instead of having my quiet time, I've been playing iPhone games." And I got rid of those, and now for that 15 minutes, I'm gonna have quiet time now.
Wow!
And for some reason, that to me has stood out as one of the biggest things because it's something that seems so small, but when you think about taking just 15 minutes of your day and having a conversation with your God,
yeah,
that's pretty incredible.
I spoke recently at a conference, and it was a faith-based conference, so there's things I can say in that conference that I probably couldn't say in other secular arenas, I guess, so to speak. And we were talking about leadership, and I said, I think one of the number one tools that the enemy plays against believers, he can't unsave them, you know what I mean, depending on our theology, which that's not what this is about, but he can distract them to no end. And I fall into that category just like so many people, you know what I mean? If you look at just like that gal who was playing with her phone too much, you know what I mean? Like that is that's huge. And what you're saying through the drama is that we're accountable for those things and every moment, and it's a powerful message.
Yeah, it is.
What do you say to people? Like, do people come up after your shows and be like, "What do I do? What should I do? What, you know? What is my purpose? What's the next step?" Have people come up to you and ask you those questions?
Some of them have. Fortunately for me, a lot of the time I am in a context where, I perform the drama, but there's somebody else who's older or more experienced who is doing, you know, teaching and things like that. But I do get this question. And for me, when people say, you know, how can I find my purpose or something along those lines, I say that there's three things to look at. And again, these are things that I've looked at in myself as well. They are talent and passion and impact. So if you imagine a little Venn diagram with three circles, one says talent, one says passion, one says impact. So there might be something that really intersects with your talent and your passion. But it doesn't have the sort of the cultural or even familial or any sort of impact. That might be something that you can do for yourself as a hobby because you're good at it and you love it, but it's not gonna leave a mark on the world the way that you want to. And then you might have something that you're talented at and that leaves an impact, but you don't have any passion for it. You know, and so that might be something where where somebody could say, hey, you know, I really need help getting this thing off the ground, or I really need help with this performance piece or whatever it is. And you can say yes to help somebody, and you can, of course, use that. But that's probably not going to be the thing that you're going to center yourself on, because there's no passion. Without your passion, you know, you're going to feel just gray.
Right.
So if you can find something that's right in that area, first of all, huge blessing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think a lot of people land in that space.
Right.
But second of all, I think that you're going to really feel like you are fulfilling your purpose, using your gifts and your abilities to make a difference, and really enjoying doing it.
Right. Put yourself in the character's shoes. I can't think of the gentleman's name that you play in this drama. What is his name?
Daniel Scott Mathewson.
Daniel, yeah, you're bringing it all back from like 18 years ago. Daniel Scott Mathewson. You know, put yourself in his shoes. And again, just kind of preface it with for the people listening who haven't seen the drama. You know, he's a hardworking guy. Kind of an executive. I would say probably playing the rat race. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh yeah.
You know, if, for those of you who are listening, and again, I fall into this category, and certainly have fallen into it in my television career. What can we do to just take a step back and view life in more of an eternal perspective? Not saying we should do huge things like quit your job and all of those things, but like what's an actionable thing that we can do to just view life just a smidge differently, even listening to this podcast.
Well, one of the things that the drama focuses on is eternal rewards, and there's a huge discussion about eternal rewards. One of my favorite books on that is it's called The Law of Rewards by Randy Alcorn.
Yeah.
If this is a new concept to you, to anyone listening, that is a great short little concise book that will get you into that. But there's a really beautiful conversation that happens between the character Daniel and the character Jesus. And Jesus tells Daniel, when I talk about things of eternal value, most of the time I'm talking about people, because people are what last forever.
Right.
And so for me, you know, being close to this character, it's become, you know, how do I think more about people and the impact that I'm having on people, not using people to get what I need or what I want, but really seeing them, that this person is beautiful, created in the image of God, and worthy of love. And I think, you know, there's not really a quantifiable thing that you can do to change that perspective. But, you know, in terms of a slow process of seeing the people that you're interacting with daily and treating them differently, I think that's a really great step, you know, short of quitting your job, moving across the country, you know, things like that.
Right.
Of just, you know, I want to make a little bit of a change.
Right.
Start with your wife, start with your kids.
You bet.
You know, your boss or your employees or the people who are messing up your contracts or, you know, whatever it is. You know, start with them.
We had a guest on the show several episodes ago, Paul Tenhagen, and I asked him a similar question, and he said, he literally prefaced it like this. He said, I don't care if your name is Jared Sebesta, Donald Trump, or the homeless guy downtown, you all have equal value and deserve the same amount of respect. And I was like, that's a true statement, more difficult to carry out in day-to-day life. But I've remembered that one. That one has stuck out to me, and I think what you're saying is very similar. There's an inherent value everybody has, and there's few things that last for eternity. And so I think we need to spend more time focusing on the things that are of that value. Then not that the day-to-day stuff is unimportant, but, you know, do a self-evaluation. And again, me included, how much of my day is spent focused on the day-to-day logistics and on things actual of eternal significance. And I think that's a big one and a tough question to face in the mirror, don't you think?
Yeah, very.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this interview with Joe Mayers. No doubt we are called not only to live with purpose, but to live with eternity in mind. Everything we do, every single day. And once we get that fact into our being, that should absolutely 100% change the way that we live. If you want more information on the Bema, go to their website, bemalive.com. That's spelled BEMALive.com. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tages called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com. Click on Heard Us on the Radio. It's in the upper right-hand corner. Click on that, give us your name and email, and that will be our free gift to you just for listening today. And a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.